College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Audible makes getting more books in your life easy. What's not to love about that? They have an absolutely unbeatable selection of audiobooks, all with fantastic performances. You can easily transform your long commute and ride with Audible. Right now, you can start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. You have to go to audible.com/hoops. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, handpicked and continuously refreshed. Be sure to check out audible.com/hoops to start your 30-day trial and get your first audiobook free. And now that we've got you all set up with all your Audible needs, let's get into the main headlines I took away from litmus test week in college basketball. And there were so many things to hit on because there was so much college basketball to digest, dissect, and now offer perspective on. And we have to start with Duke's obviously running the PK80. And when you talk about Duke right now, you have to look at what Marvin Bagley III is doing. Running away early on with the National Player of the Year race, and I know it's not even December, but if you take away the game where Marvin Bagley only played 10 minutes against Michigan State due to an eye injury, his averages are 24.9 points and 12 rebounds. By comparison, Tim Duncan averaged 20.8 points and 14.7 rebounds when he was a college senior. When Duncan was a freshman, 9.8 points and 9.6 rebounds as a true freshman at Wake Forest. Think about the discrepancy right now between Marvin Bagley as a freshman statistically and Tim Duncan. Another observation from the PK80, Michigan State broke open the game against North Carolina when it had three guards on the floor and Miles Bridges at the four. The more and more I watch the dynamic with Michigan State and Miles Bridges, the more and more it reminds me of what we saw Oregon go through last year when Dylan Brooks first came back from his foot injury. And if you remember, in Maui last year, the Ducks struggled to find continuity. Dana Altman tried to play Dylan Brooks, Chris Boucher, and Jordan Bell all together at the same time. It didn't work. There was clutter when Brooks went to the four like he did the year prior. He was in straight beast mode. Oregon goes to the Final Four. For as much front court balance and depth that Michigan State has, to me, Michigan State at its apex is with Miles Bridges as a power forward. And again, if we're going to talk about teams going on the other side of things, and that's on a downward trajectory, we have to talk about Arizona, who gave up 90 points or more in a non-overtime game for the first time since 2010, 7.5 years ago, under Sean Miller. But the way I look at Arizona right now, I am not in panic mode, because great coaches always find a way to weather the storm. You have to take into account that Raleigh Hawkins, a guy who could be the third wheel behind Alonzo Trier and DeAndre Ayton, has yet to play yet. But the biggest takeaway, you know, I look at when I'm evaluating Arizona is what this team is giving up on the defensive side of the floor. And based on what I saw in the Bahamas, I think it's going to be really difficult for Arizona to be a competent defensive team with both DeAndre Ayton and Dusan Ristić on the floor together. I think it's going to be really difficult to achieve that. And as you look at the teams that have really started to have success this season, you are seeing teams, okay, and from a defensive perspective, play smaller, because smaller and quicker is in, and there is no better example of that than the Florida team that nearly beat Duke on Sunday night in what was a classic game in the title game of the PK80. Mike White, when he was the head coach at Louisiana Tech before he came to Florida, was an innovative offensive mind. He played fast with multiple guards. And to me, Florida right now is Louisiana Tech on steroids. Chioza, Jalen Hudson, Kevon Allen, Igor Kolachev, a team that forces you to come out and guard them because they have four guys on the floor that can all space the floor and make shots. And that's one thing that I think you're seeing throughout college basketball. It's one thing to go small, but a big key when you go small is having at least one of the four guys on the floor be able to knock down jump shots with regularity, because if you don't have that, then the defense doesn't have to help in terms of dealing with dribble penetration and being in a situation where they can leave a jump shooter open. So making jump shots, something that Florida did all weekend long at the PK 80. Gators didn't win the tournament, but they look like they've got a real chance to be pound for pound, inch for inch, the best team in the SEC. Again, Louisiana Tech on steroids. One team that won its non-conference tournament was Notre Dame. Irish won the Maui Invitational in the middle of last week. And Mike Bray, the head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Notre Dame is undefeated after winning the Maui Invitational, and the Irish return to the mainland for a showdown with Michigan State Thursday night in East Lansing. And the head coach of Notre Dame, Mike Bray, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And coach, you are, as everybody knows, the most relaxed coach in college basketball. You would admit that yourself, but how relaxed were you when your team was down 14 at the half to Wichita State?
Well, John, not very relaxed, but hopefully my attire helped me get through it. You know, the one thing about an older group and great leadership, and I certainly we have that with Bonzi Colson and Matt Farrell setting the tone, there was really no panic. You know, older guys, you know, don't panic. They kept playing. Our defense improved. Going zone helped us in the second half. And, you know, we've been in so many game situations, this older group of guys, the nucleus that starts has played a lot, that I thought that really helped us kind of steal a win out there last Wednesday.
Well, you have played against some of the best programs in the country in both the Big East and the ACC. Where did Wichita State match up compared to some of the best teams you've seen in the ACC the past couple of years?
Well, I think they would be strongly in the top half of the ACC right now. You know, they're old, they're veteran, they're men. They guard the heck out of you. We're a pretty good offensive group. We just couldn't score. We couldn't breathe against them offensively. And then they're just so physical and they defend and rebound. But I think that maturity, you know, Greg does such a fabulous job. I know they're excited about the new challenge of their new league. But they're as good as, you know, anybody we can, you know, prepare for in the ACC.
You know, your program has been so consistent for so many years, but watching your team this year, it seems like the role allocation is as concrete as we've really seen it. It brings me to this question. Every coach wants to have depth so they can avoid an injury or they can make it through practice and simulate certain situations. But when you have six or seven guys who all know what their role is, does depth sometimes become overrated?
Well, I think it can, John. You've heard me say that. Of course, my fans got on me about 4 or 5 years ago. I said depth can be overrated on game nights. You need it for practice. There's no question. But, you know, when you have a nucleus of guys, and for example, for us, and this has kind of been our template, you know, we've got four guys playing 30-plus minutes. You know, they know who they are. They don't have to force shots because they know they're going to be in the game. They play a lot together. There's something about that that I think is really helpful. And then you find the right kind of guys to come off the bench and give you some minutes and give you a lift. That's kind of how we've built it here. And what I think, it's helped our offensive efficiency. You know, when you play too many guys, your ability to take care of the ball, I think, can get into question. But when you shorten that thing and you have guys that know how to play with each other, I think you're a little better with the ball. And that certainly has helped us.
Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Irish undefeated heading into Thursday's game against Michigan State. You know, we know about Farrell, we know about Colson, but if you really look at the last minute of your game, Rex Pfluger made two or three intangible plays that aren't going to show up in the box score. He won an NCAA tournament game a couple of years ago against Stephen F. Austin. In terms of intangible players, where does he rank among the best that you've coached?
Well, John, I'm so glad you pointed that out, because I continually, you know, talk about him in front of our team and our local media. He is a flat-out winner. All the little things. You know, he gets a big defensive rebound at 6'5", gets fouled, makes two free throws. The tie-up for the loose ball at the end is just an unbelievable instinctive toughness play. The ability to wait and read the out-of-bounds play and not rush and deliver the ball to Martin Gebben. And then who gets the final steal? So Wichita State doesn't even get a shot. He's a little bit of everything for us. He's a winner. He's becoming a leader and a voice. It's hard to have him off the court, quite frankly.
You know, we love the attire in Maui. You were casual. It looked like you were hanging out at the pool, and then you came to coach. But I'm curious. You have always been able to just move on to the next task and never get too high or too low. Who taught Mike Bray how to be composed and loose?
You know, I probably learned that, John, from my high school coach, and then I went back and worked with him, Morgan Wooten. Morgan was a Hall of Famer, obviously, and still watches us and texts me after games. There was a great steadiness and a great calmness of not getting too high or not getting too low and moving on to the next mission quickly. And I learned that as a player with him, and then I was so fortunate to coach with him. He was really a great mentor in that department.
Well, the next mission and the next task for Notre Dame is to go to East Lansing and to take on Michigan State. You have always been very effective against bigger and stronger teams by your ability to go small and space them out. How do you assess the magnitude of the challenge against the Spartans?
Well, it's an unbelievable challenge, and then watching them last night just totally smother North Carolina. Wichita State did that to us in the first half. We couldn't figure out a way, and I'm trying to figure out how we score against them. I do like how we can hold our own on the backboard a little more with this particular group. We have not downshifted as much and played small. We've played bigger, and we've still been efficient offensively, and I think we have to do that. But we're going to have to rebound the basketball. It's an unbelievable rebounding challenge. And then what do we do to help our guys offensively against that great defense that Michigan State plays?
You know, it's interesting. You look at, obviously, Michigan State, and the first thing that jumped out to me when I saw them practice was the depth that they have up front. But when they opened up the game last night and then they closed the game, they had Miles Bridges at the four. As a coach, do you fear them bigger and stronger, or do you fear them versatile with Bridges at the four?
You know, John, I kind of fear them both ways. I made note of that, too. Obviously, that gives Bridges some flexibility, a little bit like what we do with Bonzi. You know, when you put them in those positions, you know, it's a little bit that he can get into a little better offensive rhythm. You know, for us, they come at you both ways. It is going to be a huge challenge for our defense and even a bigger challenge for our rebounding. I think the game's going to come down to, can we keep it to one and done against them? So far, we've been pretty good. Wichita State gets up on the backboard with some men pretty good, and we held our own and fine. This is a little bit of another level with all the big bodies that come in there, but we have to keep it the one and done to have a chance in East Lansing.
And this is just the first of many arduous road tests this year. In addition to Michigan State and the ACC, you're at Duke, you're at Carolina, you're at Virginia. Has Mike Bray ever had to undertake a road schedule like he will in 17-18?
John, it's the hardest we've ever had. And I love the fact that we started on the road and challenged ourselves over at DePaul, because, you know, it kind of set the tone. We found a way to dig out of that one. We are going to be on the road a lot in some amazing battles, certainly this one Thursday. But as you mentioned, more of them come at. Now, so far, you know, probably more than any top 25 team, we've played four of our six games away from home right now. And I like how we're playing away from home, because we have more challenges coming.
Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Irish undefeated after winning the Maui Invitational at Michigan State on Thursday night. You know, you used to tell me when you were in the Big East that on the 24th and 25th of December you'd enjoy your eggnog, and on the 26th you'd wake up in a cold sweat. We're about a month away from conference play, but I'm curious, how does the feeling of knowing that the ACC is coming a month down the road compare to the feeling that the Big East was coming a month down the road?
You know, I'm doing a good job of not thinking about that right now. I'm kind of in a little bit of a cold sweat right now, John, because of Thursday's game and what's coming Thursday. But I think right around, you know, Christmas night around 6 o'clock, I'll get out of the holiday spirit and I'll start to get a little fidgety with what I know is coming in January and February.
You know, we talked, I remember, when you were still in the Big East and you were just saying, you know what, we've done so much here, but, you know, I'm really itching to go on a big run in the tournament. You've went on two. You went to back-to-back Elite Eights. How does the dynamic internally as a coach change once you've been to the game to get to the Final Four multiple times?
You know, I think it makes you more confident, certainly as a coach. But I think with this particular senior class, who has a chance to be the all-time winningest class in the history of our program, you know, these guys have experienced two Elite Eights, two ACC championship games. They expect internally in the locker room, without me around, making a run. And I don't think you can really talk about that and really do it until you've experienced it once. So there's really nothing for me as far as setting goals and objectives. This group really feels they're primed to do it. They'll be thoroughly disappointed if they don't. And you know, when you have a group that takes ownership of itself, you know, you're about 85% of the way there psychologically.
Final thing for me, you mentioned you've been to two Elite Eights, so have a lot of guys in your locker room right now. How do you fight getting back to that point and being in a position to get to a Final Four when there's so much basketball left to be played?
You know, I think our guys are, again, because we've got a good senior class and we're an older group, only one true freshman on this roster. They understand the day-to-day, trying to get better, what's coming next. You know, they can really put March on the back burner. And, God, you got to earn March. You know, I mean, it's, I always feel I'm jinxing myself talking about runs in the tournament when we don't really have a resume yet, even though we've put a couple good scalps on there already. You know, I think the biggest thing that when we come back into practice today is, you know, how do we get better? You know, we've got to kind of get away from Maui. That was fun. That was great. It's a confidence builder. But how do we get better before we take the floor against a great team Thursday?
What are the biggest keys against the Spartans?
Rebounding the basketball, and then how do we help ourselves on the offensive end? I don't know if I, on Monday, I'm not sure I have that answer yet. I've got to watch some more film, but what do we do to get some offensive rhythm against a great defensive group?
Going to be fun to watch, Mike. Congrats on Maui. Have a good practice today. Be in touch along the way.
Always good to talk to you, John. Take care, buddy.
We'd like to thank Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We're the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Audible makes getting more books in your life easy. What's not to love about that? They have an absolutely unbeatable selection of audiobooks, all with fantastic performances. You can easily transform your long commute and ride with Audible. Right now, you can start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. You have to go to audible.com/hoops. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, hand-picked and continuously refreshed. Be sure to check out audible.com/hoops to start your 30-day trial and get your first audiobook free. And now time for the social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question is from Harrison Fuchs. And it's, John, what does Arizona have to do to turn it around? I think that when you look at Arizona, and I talked about this early on, I think it's going to be playing a little bit smaller, being in a situation where you don't see Ayton and Ristich on the floor as much together. And another thing about Arizona, this team on offense does not have a knockdown shooter to complement Alonzo Trier and also take pressure off DeAndre Ayton. Where is Gabe York when you need him? Our next question is from Nathan Baverman, and it's, John, how do you think Cincinnati will fare over for their tough stretch of games against Xavier, Florida, Mississippi State, and UCLA. To me, this is the ultimate barometer for Cincinnati. They thought they were going to play Iowa in the Cayman Islands. Iowa got upset. Cincinnati's been dominant against competition, obviously, that hasn't been overwhelmingly strong. For Cincinnati to be taken as a legitimate Final Four contender or even second weekend contender in terms of the NCAA tournament, I think they got to win three out of these four games. Xavier is going to be a very difficult game in the Cintas Center. Florida, we've talked about. Louisiana Tech on steroids, in my opinion. Mississippi State better under Ben Hallen, and then to go to UCLA. Cincinnati winning two of those games, I think, is what you would expect, considering how good Mick Cronin's program has been. If they win three of those four, I think they're very much in business. That is one thing to monitor when you're looking at Cincinnati. Our next question comes from Casey Kia. And it's John. Can Minnesota challenge Michigan State for the Big Ten title? Who else can compete for the Big Ten? I think Minnesota is the second team in the Big Ten. And I don't think there is a better 4-5 combination right now in college basketball than Jordan Murphy and Reggie Lynch. Every time Jordan Murphy doesn't get a 20-10 number at the end of the game, you think he's not performing at the highest level, because he has been Mr. 20-10 out of the gate, to me, an absolutely sensational player who has a chance, I think, a real chance to be a first-team All-Big Ten player and very much in contention for Big Ten Player of the Year. Now that we've got you set for your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one. Oklahoma freshman Trae Young is a collegiate version of Steph Curry. Seriously, he had 43 as Oklahoma beat Oregon on Sunday in the PK80, averaged 34.7 points per game in the tournament. This kid, who again spurned Kansas and Kentucky to remain home, isn't just one of the best freshmen in college basketball. He is one of the sport's best players. Nugget number two, Desert Blaze. And when we talk about the desert, we have to talk about Arizona State. Bobby Hurley is the Sun Devils a year ahead of schedule. Look like an NCAA tournament team, putting up 102 points against Xavier, averaging 96 as a team. And one thing that you need to remember when you look at Arizona State, I saw this team practice in the preseason. Two key players, Mickey Mitchell, a transfer from Ohio State, and Kamani Lawrence, top 50 freshman, have yet to play. Bobby Hurley told me on Monday Kamani Lawrence will return in late December. Mickey Mitchell back in December, the first couple of weeks. Again, this team plays Kansas on December 10th. Nugget number three, beware of the Knights. Now, UCF went 1-2 at the Advocare Invitational, but this is a ruthless defensive team. Again, they're playing right now without B.J. Taylor, one of the best guards in the American, who is out with a foot injury. Once this team gets B.J. Taylor back, to me, they have a chance to be a bubble team. Staying in the American for nugget number four, Husky trouble. The game between Arkansas and UConn on Sunday in the PK80 was the worst performance I've seen the Huskies program have in my lifetime. It was a 35-point win for the Razorbacks, and the Razorbacks are a good team. They're going to go to the NCAA tournament under Mike Anderson, but they had a walk-on in at the end of the game when the disparity between the two teams was 40 points. UConn is not supposed to have walk-ons in the game against it. Not from the UConn that I've watched since the mid-'80s under Jim Calhoun. Nugget number five, return to havoc. You know, one thing you notice when you watch Texas in the PK80, the best basketball that the Longhorns played was in open space through pressure and obviously challenging the opponent. Texas built a 16-point lead against Duke before losing, and the way Texas got back in the game against Gonzaga was due to full-court pressure. I'm curious to see if that type of full-court pressure could make a return to Shaka Smart's playbook. Now, let's look at some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Five to put on your DVR. Tuesday, Baylor at Xavier, Louisville at Purdue. Wednesday, a big one between Miami and Minnesota in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Thursday, Texas Tech, Seton Hall in the Garden. I've talked about this Texas Tech team for a very long time. I've ranked them the last 2 weeks in the top 25. And then the big one in East Lansing, Notre Dame and Michigan State. We'd like to thank Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.